In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Friday, April 7th, AD 2017. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. President Donald Trump met with Chinese President Xi Jinping, and the secular media encouraged Trump to make Christian persecution in China a discussion item for the weekend. National Review and U.S. News & World Report pushed the issue in public editorials yesterday, but the White House indicated that the two heads of state are going to focus on North Korea's nuclear testing and the China-U.S. trade imbalance. Christian Today reports that Chinese officials have raided three more house churches in the last few weeks. At least 15 Christians were arrested and held for 15 days. Revelation 12 says, "Then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus." The Chinese province of Zhejiang has announced plans to require closed-circuit television monitoring in both three self and home churches. Christians who have resisted the action have been arrested and beaten to the point that they have been taken to hospitals for treatment. Daniel Harris, the regional manager for International Christian Concern, says this is the hardest persecution faced by the church in China since the Cultural Revolution.
First, they carried out this policy of cross destruction, but now they're carrying out this policy of installing CCTV cameras. And I think they've realized how much Christianity has grown in the city out of estimated population of, I think, about maybe 8 million people. People are calling this the worst crackdown on Christianity since the People's Revolution or the Cultural Revolution that happened decades ago when the Communist Party took power.
Last night, the United States launched 59 Tomahawk missiles on a Syrian military base from two Navy warships in the Mediterranean Sea. Listen now to the beginning of the Commander-in-Chief's remarks.
On Tuesday, Syrian dictator Bashar al-Assad launched a horrible chemical weapons attack on innocent civilians. Using a deadly nerve agent, Assad choked out the lives of helpless men, women, and children. It was a slow and brutal death for so many. Even beautiful babies were cruelly murdered in this very barbaric attack. Tonight, I ordered a targeted military strike on the airfield in Syria from where the chemical attack was launched. It is in this vital national security interest of the United States to prevent and deter the spread and use of deadly chemical weapons.
This was the first direct U.S. intervention like this since the war began 6 years ago. The Republicans have gone nuclear to save Trump's nomination of Judge Neil Gorsuch to the Supreme Court. The New York Times reports that, quote, "Republicans argued that changing the rules to push through the nomination was their only option, accusing Democrats of raising Senate norms with the first ever successful partisan filibuster of a Supreme Court nominee. Allowing this obstruction to stand, Republicans said, would have caused more damage than overriding Senate precedent to turn back the filibuster," unquote. Only four Democrat senators had broken ranks to oppose the filibuster. This is the first time in the history of the United States Senate that it has taken the nuclear option to confirm a Supreme Court nominee. The Gorsuch nomination will be voted on today, God willing. The Treasury Department's Inspector General has just completed a report on the Internal Revenue Service and found that the IRS has confiscated millions of dollars from innocent citizens under a manufactured law called, quote, structuring, unquote. The law enables legal proceedings against individuals who withdraw certain quantities of monies from their own bank accounts. Out of random sampling of 278 IRS forfeiture actions, the Inspector General found that in a full 91% of the cases, the individuals or businesses were involved in legal activities. Creationist Ken Hovind served 8 years in prison for the same charge of structuring. In a ruling made earlier this week, the 7th Federal District Court of Appeals redefined sex in the 1964 Civil Rights Act to include sexual orientation. Homosexual groups are calling it, quote, a game changer, unquote. And World Magazine says this puts Christian groups at risk of lawsuits. The ruling will only impact those living in Indiana and Wisconsin for now. Italy is opening up access to the RU486 pill, designed to kill a baby in utero. The government intends to make abortion more widely available, as 70% of Italian doctors refuse to perform surgical abortions, reports Reuters. Pro-family ministries and groups have long protested the United Nations pushing the LGBT agenda on children, but the United Nations is not listening to their voices. The UN LGBT czar, a homosexual named Vitit Monterborn of Thailand, says it's, quote, the younger the better, unquote, when it comes to LGBT indoctrination. The Islamic State executed 33 people on Wednesday this week. The Syrian Observatory for Human Rights calls this the largest reported number of ISIS executions in the year 2017 so far. Another survey from the American Bible Society with the Barna Group reveals that 58% of Americans think that the Bible is important, but they do not have time to read it. Only 20% of Americans read the Bible on a regular basis. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Matthew 4:4. And that's the worldview in 5 minutes on this Friday, April 7th, in the year of our Lord, 2017. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. If you want the right worldview for your news, you'll want the right worldview for your children's education. That's why we've produced the Worldviews in Conflict curriculum for your teens. It's a curriculum that will equip them to engage the war of the worlds. Check it out at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.
Welcome to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five. We raise our kids out here in the Eastern Plains, Colorado, during the slow but steady decline of the Christian influence in the Western world. And we broadcast from my basement studio, Bill Jackin's studio with us today from Worldview Academy. And today we're going to talk...
Love what you've done with the bunker here, yeah.
Yep. It's pretty nice, huh?
It's still kind of gray.
Yep. Pretty nice. Yeah. Well, let's talk about what's happening with the media. You know, governments are backing off on their persecution of Christians here in the United States, at least for the time being. We haven't heard as many stories this year as we did previous years. And I think part of that may be that Donald Trump was elected president of the United States, and it may be giving us something of a reprieve for the next 2, 3, 4 years.
Yeah, we got a breather.
But the media is not on board with
it. Oh, they're doubling down.
Persecution's going to come from elsewhere, and certainly we're seeing some media pushback against Christians, as in the case of this Washington Post story from Caitlin Dewey. And she wrote a story on Representative Jody Arlington. I believe he is from Texas.
Right.
And he called—
Arrington.
He called for changes in the supplemental nutrition program, and he quoted 2 Thessalonians 3:10, "If a man will not work, he shall not eat," which is a famous verse in Scripture. But the Washington Post picked this up, article written by Caitlin Dewey, and headline, get this, Bill.
Yeah.
GOP lawmaker, colon, "The Bible says the unemployed shall not eat." Now, how is that different from 2 Thessalonians 3:10? You see a distinction there.
I think there's a little bit of a twist on what I actually
said. The Bible doesn't say unemployed shall not eat. The Bible says a man will not work, he shall not eat.
Yes.
There's a slight difference.
And what's interesting about this Caitlin Dewey story is that she did a whole video presentation for the Washington Post on how to recognize fake news and how to be very, you know, very aware of fake news. I know how you can be aware of fake news. Just look for anything with a byline that says Caitlin Dewey.
Do a search for Caitlin Dewey. Well, it all goes to show that media is not going to be neutral, and it never has been neutral. Always, my friends, there's something that winds up on the front page of the newspaper. Either it's going to be that some spotted owl or a bald eagle was run over in downtown Denver, or, you know, 20,000 babies were killed yesterday. I mean, you know, right, in abortion clinics. One of the two is going to make it on the front page of the newspaper, and it's going to be the worldview of the editor that distinguishes what winds up on the front page of a newspaper.
They didn't even issue a correction. The Washington Post just changed the headline, and they still left the misquote of the Bible passage, because they didn't say it was 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10. They said 2 Thessalonians 3 through 10.
Oops.
Oops. So they didn't even get their facts straight about the reference, despite the twist on it. So this is just over the top. It is, they're just exposing themselves for what they are, and that is, they're biased hacks. They are not even journalists anymore. Journalism is dead.
The journalist Republican to Democrat ratio is fairly high. I can't remember how high it is, but I think some 7% of journalists identify as Republicans. So what is that? About a 13-to-1 ratio. It's almost exactly what it is in America's universities for the professors.
Right.
Remember, we did a program on that a few weeks ago in which we found
it's still disturbing.
I think it's 12-to-1 Democrat to Republican ratio in American universities. And if the professors are under 36 years of age,
it's like 22-to-1.
It's 23-to-1. And something similar for journalists. For journalists, again, my friends, this is how a nation is liberalized. This is how we set a direction towards progressivism, ergo apostasy, ergo anything that is opposed to liberty and righteousness. How do you do it? Well, you've got to be sure they've captured control of America's news sources, America's journalist sources, and America's universities. It's the media. It's the universities that set the opinions, the thought processes that educate and disciple the next generation. This, my friends, is the trajectory for the next generation. You want to know what it is? It's going to be the journalists. It's going to be the college professors that set the direction, except for a rare occurrence where there's perhaps a couple of guys broadcasting from a basement out on the eastern plains of Colorado, which is what you get here. But you got to say, Bill, you and I are a bit exceptional. we're definitely not going to be in the
I think eccentric
93%.
Yeah, I think eccentric is a better definition. Exceptionally eccentric.
two of my favorite words. All right. Well, before we take a break, Vimeo is on board with persecuting Christians. And again, we've given some instances in which I think Facebook slammed the door a time or two on a mommy blogger who was fairly successful, but then she made the mistake of quoting Leviticus chapter 20. You remember this? She quoted Leviticus chapter 20. And she was in very deep water with YouTube. Well, Vimeo now is doing something similar. Vimeo is allowing jihadists. They allow jihadists to post. They allow porn sites to post. But not the Christians with an ex-gay testimony. If Jesus has changed your life and set you free from homosexual practice, your testimony is not welcome on Vimeo. Not now, not ever. And if you see homosexuality as another aspect of sexual brokenness, something for which Jesus died and something from which you can be healed, your opinion is not welcome on Vimeo. Case closed, door shut, end of subject. In the words of Dr. David Kyle Foster, director of Pure Passion Ministries and himself a former homosexual, this is pure religious bigotry and censorship. Last December, Vimeo contacted Foster to inform him that some of Pure Passion's videos had been marked by a moderator, since Vimeo does not allow videos that harass, incite hatred, or depict excessive violence. And all their videos did, Bill, was to present the cases, the testimonies of homosexuals that were set free. If the Son shall set you free, you will be free indeed. And they were trying to testify to what Jesus can do in somebody's life. Not acceptable on Vimeo, my friends. Not acceptable on Vimeo.
That's a violent message.
It's interesting that one's heart's condition is really manifested by his preferences. Vimeo prefers terrorism in Islam over Christianity. And America has demonstrated this before, so this is nothing new. I don't think this is a big surprise to our listenership. Vimeo prefers terrorists to Jesus Christ. They'll allow the jihadists, they'll allow the porn, but they'll shut down the ex-gay Christian testimonies. The Jews preferred a murder. I don't know if you remember that, Bill, but the Jews preferred a murder. Remember the guy's name is Barabbas, right? Yep. They preferred Barabbas to Jesus Christ. Now, the difference between Barabbas and Jesus Christ, give us the difference briefly.
Murderer, giver of life.
There we go. That's a big difference. Prince of life.
Yeah.
You kill the Prince of Life. So I think the apostle says in Acts 4.
Yeah.
The difference, of course, is that man prefers murderers over Jesus. And why do they do that? Because Jesus is the source of life. Because Jesus is the resurrection. Because Jesus is the truth. Because Jesus is the way to God. Because Jesus comes to set the captives free. Because Jesus comes to save us from our sins. That's why the world will take a murderer, a terrorist, a jihadist over Jesus. So who is their greatest enemy? The greatest enemy of all for Vimeo and for America as a nation, the greatest enemy of all is Jesus and the Word of God, God's law. You know, it's interesting, Bill, as soon as 9/11 happened, America went for a president who had the greatest sympathies with Islam. I mean, think about all of the other presidents back to George Washington. Can you think of another president that was as supportive of Islam, that is, would participate a bit and would appreciate certain aspects and was raised in the Islamic tradition. I'm being careful here. I'm not calling him Muslim, but sympathetic with Islam. As soon as 9/11 happened, America was head over heels in love with Islam.
Yeah, we bent over backwards to make sure that the world didn't think of us as being Islamophobes. We want to become Islamophiles.
Well, that's the direction that Vimeo has set for itself. We're going to be back in just a moment with more on this matter of religious liberties and how religious liberties are being curtailed now in Russia as well. Be back in just a moment with more on the Generations Broadcast.
Time is limited, especially for fathers who are juggling work, leading their families, and keeping up with the busyness of life. But we know that time with Dad, especially for boys, is essential to raising the leaders we need for the future. Finding it tough to spend quality time with your son? Come to the Father-Son Retreat this September and experience the luxury of 4 days of quality time. It's just you, your son, and other dads and boys at one of America's most beautiful and exciting mountain lodges for a weekend retreat near Winter Park, Colorado. With solid teaching, manly fellowship, mountain activities, and plenty of time to talk and just be together. Each year, the lives of boys and their dads are forever changed by the impact of the relationships and truth from the Father-Son Retreat. Will you make it a part of your discipleship this year? Register now at www.coloradofathersun.com.
And we're back on the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy also in studio with us today as we talk about, well, religious freedoms under attack on the part of media. It's interesting that David DeLeiden was taken to task by the California Attorney General. I don't know if you caught this, Bill, But they brought something like 16, 18 charges, some felony charges against David Daleiden for his investigative journalism that he did against Planned Parenthood. If there's anybody who you could point to as turning the tide and setting the trends against Planned Parenthood, it would have been David Daleiden. This one young man, I think, contributed more to the recent votes that defunded Planned Parenthood on the part of the $500 million our government's been sending towards Planned Parenthood, the largest abortion provider in the country for, what, the last 20, 30 years. Thankfully, David Daleiden, through his investigative journalism and the published videos that are still available on YouTube, by the way, I just checked it out a few days ago, he probably more than anybody else single-handedly turned the tide against the tide of political opinion and public opinion against Planned Parenthood. And that's impressive.
He did it brilliantly.
It was incredible. It was incredible.
No good deed goes unpunished.
Oh,
so what California did, they went after him.
They did big time.
They're harassing him.
They sure are.
Legally.
Yes, right. Well, it turns out the Los Angeles Times took the side of David Daleiden.
That's amazing. Why?
Well, think about it. Investigative journalism.
Well,
They've got some investigative journalists too.
They haven't done any investigative journalism except for the other side.
On occasion, they do. But what's good for the goose is also
it's sauce for the gander.
You got it. You got it. I think there's somebody who's got their head screwed on straight, at least for the moment, at the Los Angeles Times editorial board, and they took the position of the David Daleiden side. So we're appreciative of that. Now let's go to Russia for a second because I think this story is interesting. I haven't got the final word on this, but as of today, the Jehovah Witnesses are under the gun in Russia. Last month, the Justice Ministry of the Russian government asked the Russian Supreme Court to outlaw the Jehovah Witnesses and stop its more than 170,000 Russian members from spreading, quote unquote, extremist texts. The court is scheduled to hear the case as of this week, and I haven't heard the outcome of it. But I want to take a look at this. Now, it turns out the Russian government's been good at persecuting. They've been good at terrorizing and tyrannizing other Christian groups. I think of the Molokans back in the 1800s. I think of the early evangelicals, the early Baptists, the early Pentecostals. I think the first Baptist was baptized in like 1968. I've got it in my upcoming book. So we're bringing out the entire history as best we can of 2,000 years of the gospel, making it to practically every nation around the globe. But it made it into Russia in the 1840s, 1850s, 1860s. And this is well before the communists took over. These people were dragged into court. They lost their properties. They took up prison ministries and so forth. This was the history of the early evangelicals in Russia. Well, the same thing now is happening to the Jehovah's Witnesses.
But that's not new. I think they've persecuted the JWs before.
They have. They have. Just recently, of course, there was the anti-evangelizing law that came out about a year ago, if I'm not mistaken. And there have been a number of people that caught up in that. So it's not as if it's been easy to be a Christian in Russia. It's easier now than it was under the Soviets. I don't think there's any question about that. We have friends there. We have missionary friends. We have Christian friends in Russia. I've been to Russia, and I've been excited with what God is doing throughout Russia and all those states surrounding what used to be the Soviet Union. So now it appears that the Jehovah Witnesses are being pressed. Now, you know, it's interesting that persecution tends to strengthen the true church. And this is a mistake that a lot of people make.
It even strengthens cults.
And it can strengthen cults.
Pseudo-Christian cults.
It can. It can. Yes. So you've got to be ever so careful with this. Now, Putin has said that Orthodox Christianity is much closer to Islam than to Catholicism. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment.
Okay, wait.
What he's saying is that the Muslim religion is pretty much real, real, real close to Orthodox Christianity. In other words, he's taking the gigantic schism in the church that occurred in the 9th century, and he's spread it so wide, the Western Eastern Church, he's spread the two denominations so wide that he's got Islam in between somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what Putin is saying. Now, political leaders, I don't think through these things very carefully. They'll persecute 170,000 Jehovah Witnesses, but they're just fine with 10 million Muslims, and radical Islam tends not to come out of the Jehovah Witnesses. I don't know if you noticed that, but your average... Your average terrorist.
Can I write this down?
Yeah.
That was revelatory.
Was it? Okay. The average terrorist, and there was a recent terrorist event in St. Petersburg.
Yes.
Came out, I think, just a few days ago. That terrorists probably did not arise out of the Jehovah's Witness sect. Would you agree with me on that?
I would.
You'd put money on that, wouldn't you? You'd put money on that
sure,
one.
Sure, I'll do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I'll lay that bet in Vegas.
Not really all that much of a threat to the state. Would you agree?
Correct.
170,000 Jehovah's Witnesses, probably not a major threat to the state as compared to 10 million Muslims. Well, Putin, I think, is getting his facts messed up. He's not thinking in terms of Nicaea and Chalcedon. He's thinking in terms of meaningless, almost tenuous political alliances. He doesn't have as much of a political alliance with the Vatican as he has with Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
That's it. You know that's it.
Yeah.
He's got a little bit better political alliance with Saudi Arabia than he does with the Vatican.
Yeah.
That's what it is. These are political alliances. Now, as it turns out, the doctrine of the Trinity is important. Now, I'm not going to say that the Jehovah's Witnesses ought to be persecuted in Russia. I think there ought to be religious liberty. Now, granted, religious freedom ought to be limited, but by what measure? Now, here's the measure I have used. I've used this many times. I think that the Old Testament speaks in terms of clamping down on the serving of false gods. Now, the serving of false gods in Canaan at the time involved human sacrifice.
Human sacrifice.
And sometimes animal sacrifice.
Sexual orgies.
Yep.
So there was...
That's what it's referring to. Yeah. That's what it's referring to. It's not talking about thought crimes. It's not talking about ideology crimes. It's simply talking about the serving of false gods in the form of human sacrifice, in the form of this
like
radical... like radical sexual orgies, human sacrifice, and that which is done in a public manner as well. Now, this is the sort of thing that the civil magistrate just cannot countenance in Denver. If you found out there was a human sacrificing cult going on in Denver, and you were a police officer, or you were a district attorney, I think you'd be bound to shut it down, don't you think?
Well, you'd think so, but they don't shut down Planned Parenthood.
No, that's true. But they ought to.
They ought to.
Yeah. So there ought to be limitations to religious freedom. I bring this out in my book, Freedom, friends. If you want to know, if you want to understand the biblical approach to freedom and to religious freedom, I encourage you to grab a copy of my book, Freedom, just released. And by the way, we're getting a study guide out for it for your high school students, because we want to be sure that your children have the history of freedom and a biblical defense of freedom down pat. Why? Because freedom's a value. Hello? Freedom's a value. You agree with that? Second that emotion. Okay, so exceptions on religious freedom. Yeah, religious freedom is limited. Scripturally, I think you can identify limitations for religious liberty in the case of human sacrifice, and also in the case of where the cult or the religious organization called for kidnapping, murder, or terrorism. You follow me? Why? Because these are crimes. Let's say if somebody came into a country, walked into the INS office, and he had a Quran in one hand and kill the infidel tattooed into his other hand. Bill, let me ask you this question. You work for the Immigration Naturalization Service. Would you like to ask that man just a little bit more, a few more questions?
What they'd probably do is say, could you just put a glove on that one hand?
Yeah. But I mean, no, if you're sensible, civil magistrate.
If you're a good magistrate, you'd go, let's talk a little bit, and then I'm going to give you a ticket back out of
the exactly. You get a round-trip ticket.
Yeah.
You get to go home.
Yeah.
Yeah. And your home is not here.
And see, the difference is, I don't believe that the JW should be persecuted.
Yeah.
I don't think that the Mormons should be persecuted.
Yeah.
What I do think is that I, as a Christian, an individual, am on a search and destroy mission. I'm destroying ideas, not people. I'm not to persecute individuals. I am to, it says, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God.
And that's the responsibility of the Church of Jesus Christ, that, yes. that we actually have a weapon far more dangerous, and that's the weapon of the truth, spoken in love, spoken in, with grace. We have the truth. We have
so
the
we are
to
destroy ideas that are raised up against the knowledge of God, false ideas, so that people can be truly free and they can live in a society that is free. Now, they can believe what they wish, but you don't want that enacted into law.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want JWs to enact their position into law, nor the Mormons
now,
into law.
None of this is to say that we agree with the Jehovah's Witnesses. For example, the doctrine of the Trinity is important. Now, let me ask you this question, Bill. Which would you rather attend, a Jehovah's Witness church or a Russian Orthodox church? Let's say you only had two choices.
Oh, come
so
on
you,
now.
You live in St. Petersburg.
That's a false dichotomy.
Well, that's right. But
I think I'd go Russian Orthodox.
And here's the reason. Because of the foundations. And a lot of people don't think the foundations are that important.
No, the foundations are important
they
because
are
the
important.
Bible says if the foundation is destroyed, what can the righteous do?
That's right. But a lot of people don't think in terms of worldviews and basic doctrinal issues.
You will hear liturgy in the Orthodox Church that is biblical.
Sure, sure.
Even if the people there don't believe it, they're still saying it.
And the Russian Orthodox Church still believes in the Trinity.
Yes.
They still hold to Nicaea and Chalcedon. They still hold to the Apostles' Creed, which, by the way, does express the coming of Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins, and he was raised on the third day, which is the heart and the substance of the gospel, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So are foundations important? See, the reason people don't think they're important, Bill, is because you can't see them. Foundations often are assumed, but they're so important. It doesn't matter if you're up in the 70th story of some building. If the foundations are jacked.
The foundation's cracked. The house is jacked.
Okay, I'm sorry. I always get that wrong. But yeah, if the foundation's cracked, the building's jacked.
See, you just don't know Jack. Oh, yeah, you do.
That's my problem.
You know me.
Yeah.
And that's why I like meeting in the bunker, because we're down here at the foundations of your building, you know?
Well, it's so important for us to maintain, friends, the doctrine of the Trinity, and that is that there are three persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the same in power, equal in power and glory, the same as substance, equal in power and glory. Let's retain the basic foundations of the faith. Let's be sure that we teach them. Let's be sure that we assume them. Let's be sure that we integrate them into our way of thinking, that we bring it into the metaphysic as we consider the teaching of science and literature and all of human learning. Yes, absolutely. A biblical metaphysic is so important. That is the Trinitarian concept of the ultimacy of the one and the many, because God is one and still three persons in one Godhead. We need to assume these things. We need to believe these things. Hold on to these truths. I'd include the sovereignty of God as essential. The doctrine of justification by faith alone. These are essentials to the faith. And when people say, well, the foundations don't really matter all that much, these people hold to some of the externals of the Christian faith, but not the substance of it. But because they hold to the externals and they look like they're goody-two-shoe Christians and they have an appearance of some kind of godliness but lack the power thereof, I still want to hold to it. Friends, they're losing something, and that is that which is of substance. And that's why it's so important for us to retain the substance and the foundational truths of the gospel and of the Christian faith. Matthew 23:22, Jesus tells the Pharisees, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you pay tithes of mint, dill, and cumin, but you have disregarded the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat and swallow a camel." And that reminds us it's important for us to retain the essentials of the faith. And we'll wrap it up right there. Friends, I encourage you to a copy of my book, Freedom, which deals with some of the issues we've talked about as relating to religious freedoms and the history of freedom in the Western world. That book is available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.